Ladies and gentlemen, well, we haven't done it like this in a while.
Yeah, we're not actually in the studio as we're talking.
This is a
message from the past.
Ooh. Yes, yeah, sadly we weren't able to go into the studio today, so we've done a pre-recorded pre-recorded episode for you.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio.
Yeah. See, at least got something from us in the meantime. But what have we got for you? Well, a lot, actually. Well,
I think we need to talk about what we should have talked about last week, but we couldn't because somebody was working, James. Because it's just bloody typical. On like a day when we're not able to do the show, Nintendo decides to announce their next major Pokemon game.
Mm-hmm.
Trailer and everything.
Damn it, Nintendo.
It's like they know.
They know what we're doing, but oh yes, we had a whole new Pokemon game announced. Well, several, in fact.
Yeah, actually, I'd say it's several, but only one of them
matters.
I wasn't going to say only one of them matters. I was going to say because I'll tell you what, we may as well just start from. Let's start with the smaller one first because. There's a new Switch title that's available free to download now called Pokemon Quest. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's also going to be a mobile title at some point in the future. And it's basically like a... I'm not entirely sure what kind of game to call it because you're...
It's kind of Diablo-ish.
Yeah, except you can't control the Pokemon. The way it works is that you form a team of three Pokemon, you go into an area, your Pokemon move about on their own and attack automatically, but you can use their special attacks. They've like got a sort of charge-up meter, so once a move's charged up, you can use it, and then you have to wait again for it to charge up before you can use it again. And your Pokemon just fight waves and waves of enemy Pokemon, and you get rewards for which to continue exploring to find more Pokemon. Apparently, it's only the original 150 from Kanto.
Yeah.
And I played a bit of it, and it's not bad. Like, it's competently made.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment I started playing it, the free-to-play mechanic started rearing their ugly heads, and I just got immediately turned off.
Yeah, it wasn't... I think it was also... It just wasn't particularly grabbing me at the time. I was like... The art style's interesting.
Yeah, it looks like it's cute.
It's Minecraft Pokemon, essentially.
Essentially, yeah. And I feel like if it wasn't for the free-to-play mechanics, I would probably, like, give it more of a shot. And I know it's unfair to immediately discard a game because it has free-to-play mechanics, therefore, no, it's bad, because that's not fair. Even though a lot of free-to-play games are responsible for that bad, you know, for being perceived
for
as
that
such.
Stigma.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I don't think Pokemon Quest helps, because I follow Joe Merrick, the guy who runs Serebii, and obviously since his site's dedicated to Pokemon, he had to play so much of the game. And he talked about how much of a slog it is to grind in that game. Because if you try not to pay money for like the extra items and stuff to make the game go quicker, it becomes such a slog. And I think by the end of it, he said that it's like one of the worst Pokemon games he's ever covered for the site.
Oh, poor sod.
Yeah, so... Because obviously there are like timers and stuff, like, oh, you have to wait a certain amount of time in order to access this stuff. But if you pay us money now, and it's like, because I remember they did a Pokemon Picross game for the 3DS like a year ago, and that was done free to play. And I played a bunch of it, and I got pretty far without needing to pay money for it. But eventually it got to the point where I'd have to wait so long just to get another attempt. And when I looked at like the stuff, it's like, if you pay us 40 quid... you can access everything and you don't need to pay anything else afterwards. And at that point, I just went, then why isn't this a retail game being sold for £40?
Mm-hmm. It might as well have been.
It might as well have been. And I just, that's where I stopped. I then deleted it from a 3DS and never looked back. But
hell, like Pokemon Go, I'll give Pokemon Go a lot of a stigma for things, but I've never felt like I've actually had to pay real money for anything.
Hmm.
I've done just fine with the base of everything and just going to the Pokestops. So, yeah, it's a shame that this one really does seem to hammer home the, oh, if you pay us now.
Yeah, it's not great. But let's not dwell on Pokemon Quest for too long, because that's not the real meat of
the
announcements. No, the real meat was the long, because let's be fair, this game technically got leaked like months ago, but now we got official confirmation. The next, I don't know if you can call them the next mainline Pokemon games.
It isn't, because they said, well, actually, no, I'll save
yeah,
that
yeah, save that for later,
but...
I know what you're going to say. But yeah, it's Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
Eevee.
Which, to explain it in the simplest terms, they are fully fledged 3D remakes of Pokemon Yellow, but super casualized and designed with the intent of being played alongside Pokemon Go. If in fact,
I was about to say they're basically the console version of Pokemon Go, and I'm not saying that as a negative either.
Oh no, certainly not. Because I actually remember, James, you said to me like off show that when you read the leaks for Pokemon Let's Go, you weren't impressed.
I was worried. I freely admit, and I was. After the news we had afterwards, and also after seeing it in action, I take back what I said.
Yeah, it looks pretty great, all things considered. I mean, I'm biased because Pokemon Yellow was my first ever Pokemon game, so naturally I have a lot of nostalgia for that. So being told, hey, we've done a full 3D remake of it, I'm like, yes,
yes,
give it to me. And if you think about it, this is technically the first proper Pokemon game for consoles, if you think about it. I mean, Pokemon, we've had Pokemon games for home consoles like the N64 and GameCube, but they've always been like spin-off stuff, never like, you know, the mainline games on the handhelds.
It's always been stuff like Stadium, Colosseum,
exactly.
Gales.
Not to say those games were bad, but they just weren't. It's just really cool to have a mainline Pokemon game. I know we've said it's technically not a mainline game, but in a way it is. It's just a very.
It's the remake.
It's a very casualized remake, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's because when you look at the gameplay, you can tell it's clearly been designed with newcomers specifically in mind. And Pokemon games have always been very welcoming to the newcomers. You know, we always complain about, oh, the tutorials in Pokemon games go on for so long. I've been playing these games for 20 years. When, you know, every Pokemon game is someone's first. You know, we make fun of it, but we understand why they're there. I think the real complaint is that we just wish we could skip the tutorials if there was an option for it. But anyway, I'm rambling.
Maybe it'll be in this one. Maybe.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because this has clearly been designed to bring in the fans who started playing Pokemon Go. Because let's not forget, I know we all like to make fun of how Pokemon Go... Man, remember when Pokemon Go was popular for like 3 months and then it just stops? And everyone's gone, well, actually, people are still playing Pokemon Go. In fact, if you look at the numbers, it's still...
People are still playing it.
It's still clearly very popular. And a lot of people got into Pokemon with Pokemon Go. I know for a fact that there are so many people who've never touched a Pokemon game that picked up Go and have fun with it. And so Pokemon Let's Go is an attempt to bring those fans into something more similar to the core games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really good idea.
It's also going to sell the Switch like damn busters.
Oh, exactly. A lot of people are, you know, because I remember even when the games first got leaked, like when we only had the titles, you know, when it was said like, oh, we think that Nintendo is going to announce two new Pokemon games called Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, people went, this isn't what we asked for. And I'm like, we have a title and you're already complaining.
Complaining.
It's ridiculous. And I know there are probably people out there right now who saw this announcement and went, Nintendo, what are you doing? This isn't the game I wanted. And it's still going to sell billions.
Oh, yeah.
Because guess what?
I'm not going to buy it. Okay, millions of others are.
Yeah, and like, we are. I know for a fact I'm getting it day one.
I'm getting it day one.
I mean, I have my problems with it, but they're so minor compared to everything else. I mean...
And I think it also helps off the other news later that kind of balances.
Yeah,
it
that goes... too. That was smart on Nintendo's part because I think we may as well just say it now. Before we get into the real meat of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, they also confirmed almost immediately after the fact that we are getting a core proper Pokemon game in late 2019 that's going to continue on from, you know, what X and Y and Sun and Moon did on the 3DS, and that's going to be for Switch. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very smart thing to do because they knew that the moment once they'd announced that, people would be going, is this what Pokemon has become now? And it's like, nope, you're getting your proper game there. And I think they've even read in an interview somewhere recently that the director of the Pokemon company, or at least somebody got interviewed, and they said that depending on Let's Go Pikachu / Eevee success, this could become a regular thing. Like, we'll get, you know, the core Pokemon games for, you know, the hardcore trainers who go to the competitions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then have these very casual side games for the people who just got in via Go and don't care about IVs and the natures and shit like that and just want to have a fun time with Pokemon.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
It's great. And like I said, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee still look really good. Like, that trailer mm-hmm. did a really good job at selling it to me. I mean, part of my love for it is very superficial. It's partly because it's all fully 3D. Oh my God. Ah!
I know, it looks so good, doesn't it?
And like your Pikachu or your Eevee rides on top of your head. They're like, that's so cute.
And all the Pokemon follow you.
I know, it's
they
great.
They all follow you.
Like, cause I
but that Electrode.
I love that. No, my favorite's the Gengar. And it's like, and it's, they also seem like they have them match their actual size as well. Like, I saw at one point mm-hmm. One of the trainer riding an Onix. You can ride Pokemon in this game, and it doesn't look like it's.
Yep.
I mean, I know Sun and Moon did that too, but in that game, it seemed it was limited to very specific Pokemon. Like, oh, if you want to fly somewhere, you use Charizard. If you want to go fast, you use Tauros. But here, I think they've said that it's only limited to. Like, it's not just one Pokemon for each type of movement. Like, you can ride several other types of Pokemon, just not all of them. So I don't think you'll be able to be flying Pidgeys anytime soon, but you can ride Onixes and Charizards on the fields. I'm like, that is so cool!
Please, 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 please.
I think I remember, actually, the whole Pokemon following you thing. Obviously, that was in Heart Gold and Soul Silver on the DS, and that was much easier to do because it was sprite work. But the concept of having the Pokemon follow you in a 3D environment, I think they found files for it in Sun and Moon or Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, but it got cut out at the last minute. So obviously this is like, you know, remnants of that coming back.
On a brief tangent, what else is new from us? But did you see the Gold and Silver demo leak?
I haven't touched playing the demo, but I did look at all the old beta Pokemon, and that was a very interesting look. Just seeing how the Pokemon changed and what evolutions got cut and stuff like that.
Some of those baby Pokemon was like, oh, this would have been great.
Yeah, I almost hate myself for looking at it because I'm like, shit, I kind of want these to come back.
And there's been tons of fan art representing them.
Oh,
and it's
yeah,
been like,
it's all been great.
These are so good. Also, apparently, Imposter Professor Oak was meant to be in it at one point.
Yeah, I kind of hope they do that in the future. Wouldn't that be really cool?
Oh, yes.
No, dude, have a game where your Pokemon professor who gives you your starter Pokemon is also the main villain.
Mm-hmm. That would be really interesting.
Okay, we need that and your mum being the champion for the next game in 2019. Please, Nintendo.
Do it, Nintendo. Do it, Nintendo.
But,
well, Game Freak, really. But...
Yeah.
Do it.
But going back to Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, because I've got like a list of all the important details here, just so just in case we forget anything. Of course, the biggest change is that catching wild Pokemon is done how it's done in Pokemon Go. So you don't battle the Pokemon; you just throw the Pokeball at it.
Yeah.
And that's how you catch it. And I remember when they showed that, I was a bit, oh, is that it? And I was really worried for a second. I'm like, is this just going to be the whole game? But fortunately, trainer battles are a thing. So I was like, oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, you can actually see the Pokemon on the field. Again, much like in Pokemon Go. So there's no, like, rummaging through wild grass for an hour, fighting 50 Rattatas in a row until you find that one Mankey that you want to catch. So
yeah.
On one hand, that's kind of good. I do understand why they probably want to change that. So yeah, encounters are no longer random, so you can either choose to interact with a Pokemon to catch it, or you can just ignore it,
which is good.
Which I do understand why some people are a bit iffy about that they've made the idea of catching Pokemon much less of a challenge. But again, Game Freak / Nintendo did confirm that this isn't going to be a thing in the next mainline game for 2019.
Yeah,
because there was a little voice in the back of my head I remember saying to me, like, this is how I'm going to do Pokemon now. And I was like, oh God, I hope not. And they're not. Like, they know.
They're not. I think also it's been confirmed that it will be harder to catch Pokemon. Like, Pokemon, you see them in the field, so you'll know, right, so there's the one I want, but they'll be a little harder to catch.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
And Pokeballs are going to be cheaper.
Yeah, that was another thing as well. I remember, because I remember in the little time that I played with Pokemon Go, I wasted so many Pokeballs on certain Pokemon because I just miss and that would just be infuriating.
Oh, God, yes.
And when it got to the point where I ran out, I was like, okay, how do I get more? Buy some. And I'm like, oh, shit, no. I ain't doing that. So that's going to be, yeah, so if Pokeballs are going to be cheaper, that would make it, that would alleviate that issue. Also, I think they've said that there are going to be items that you can use when catching wild Pokemon to make it easier.
Yeah, that's also in Pokemon Go. There's like types of berries that make it easier to catch.
I suppose it's going to be something I'll have to wait until I actually get hold of the game before I can properly critique it.
Yeah.
And so moving on from that, Pikachu and Eevee are the set starters, much like in Yellow. Well, to be fair, in Yellow, your only option was Pikachu, but now here you can get an Eevee as well.
I suppose it's linked to Blue, because Blue had Eevee while you had Pikachu.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm assuming that which starter Pokemon you get depends on which version you get. So if you pick Let's Go Pikachu, you'll get Pikachu. And if you pick Let's Go Eevee, you'll get Eevee. Because it'd be really weird if you buy Let's Go Pikachu and it's like, I'll take Eevee. It's like, wait, what?
I'll take Eevee. Well, I'm buying Let's Go Pikachu then.
Oh, yeah, me too. That's the version I'm going for. I know it's like, I mean, I feel bad for Eevee because it's like, oh, hey, Eevee's actually getting pushed to be like secondary mascot status. That's really cool. But I'm still going to go with the yellow rat anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also, I think you can't evolve.
That is true.
Pikachu or Eevee.
Yeah.
Which makes sense for Pikachu, but Eevee is like, ooh, really?
Well, because again, in the original Yellow, you know, Pikachu couldn't evolve. Like, it would refuse mm-hmm. to do so.
I loved the, if you actually tried to use a Thunderstone on Pikachu, it would make a noise like, yeah, and it actually would show a little portrait of it just looking at you like, really, dude?
Yeah.
Really?
And because I do remember, like, because I mean, I remember as a kid thinking that was so cool. It's like, yeah, I can stick with Pikachu. And then when I played Yellow about a couple of years ago to actually beat it, taking Pikachu to the league was very difficult because obviously its stats weren't, even though it was a very high level, obviously its stats weren't as high because it wasn't evolved yet. So that,
because it's a Pikachu,
that made fights much harder than it needs to be. But I still beat Vaporeon and I still won with Pikachu. So eat it, Gary. Anyway, I'd imagine with Eevee, that would make things actually much harder, because Eevee on its own isn't particularly great. Like, it needs to evolve in order to really do anything. Though they have said that even though the Pikachu and Eevee that you get as starters don't evolve, you can catch other Pikachus and Eevees that you that can then evolve. So it's not a case of, if you pick Eevee, you're never seeing those Eevee evolutions. It's like, no, they're there. You just need to find another Eevee. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's not like Pokemon Yellow, where the Pikachu you started with was the only Pikachu in the whole game.
Was it? I thought you could get other Pikachus in Yellow. They were just really, really rare.
Well, it might be that. It was either incredibly rare or just non-existent.
Yeah.
Which was like, really?
Yeah.
Because remember, Red and Blue, you could catch Pikachu in the first forest in Viridian.
You could catch Pikachus in Viridian Forest, but I remember them being a rare find. So like, they weren't exactly common. So
yeah.
Getting them was still a challenge. And it wasn't exactly helpful by that point either, because you were about to fight Brock, who uses ground and rock types.
Yes, Thunderbolt, it's Arthur.
God damn it. I'm still pissed at how Ash beat Brock in the anime, by the way. Pikachu burst the sprinklers and make Onix wet. I'm like, that's not how it works. That's not fair. Anyway, going back to the game.
I'd like to imagine that after all these years, that's the thing that still irks you the most about the Pokemon anime.
Oh no, there's quite a bit that still irks me about the Pokemon anime. That's not the only one, but anyway. Also, another thing that's really cool is that you can customize Pikachu and Eevee. Like, you can make them wear, like, little hats and stuff. I'm like, that is so adorable!
Wasn't there one that Eevee has, like, a Lucha Libre mask? It's like, oh my god,
oh, that's great.
Adorable.
I remember in... because you remember, like, Pikachu Libre was a Pokemon in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, because you could like, there were Pikachus with different costumes in that game, and all of them had, like, different abilities and extra attacks and stuff like that. I took Pikachu Libre to the league in my version of Omega Ruby, and she kicked ass!
I remember also in Pokemon Go, whenever there's, like, big events, like it's Christmas or stuff like that, Pikachus appear with different hats.
Oh, yeah, that was great. I think it's great that you can do that for both Pikachu and Eevee. Again, even though I'm going for the Pikachu version, I really appreciate how much they're pushing Eevee. It's great to see like another Pokemon get to be in the spotlight for a change.
Mm-hmm. Especially of the original 150.
Yeah, exactly. And what else? Oh yeah, just going through the features again. We've already talked about how you can ride other Pokemons. I think they've said there that you can only ride the big ones. So yeah. No riding Pidgeys. Apparently, HMs are not coming back. Thank the Lord.
Oh,
I'm so glad that I hope they never go back to HMs.
Oh God, I still remember back in the day, Flash. The most useless HM in the whole bloody series.
I think Defog wants a word.
Was Defog a HM?
Defog was an HM.
Oh God, I could... see that's one I also try to forget.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, trainer battles are still the same, so yeah, not much else I can really say about that. I'm just glad they're.
Here's the thing though, it's actually gonna make raising your Pokemon levels kind of harder, I imagine.
Oh, that is a good point, yeah, because you won't be able to grind on fighting wild Pokemon, so that's obviously gonna have to be balanced slightly, unless they give you the option to refight trainers.
Maybe they'll have to. Yeah, or maybe there'll be like special sections where you can just keep replaying against certain trainers.
Maybe. Like, the game has only like recently, it's only been, only got announced a week ago. They're obviously still,
oh yeah,
we obviously don't know everything about it.
Yeah, there's still a lot of details we don't know. Maybe there'll be when Nintendo's at E3 or a Nintendo Direct that goes a bit more in depth.
Maybe. They've also said that there's going to be, obviously, cross-promotion with Pokemon Go, so you can transfer Gen 1 Pokemon between the two games. So any of the original 151 that you've caught in Go, you can then transfer over to Let's Go and use there. So if you've been playing Go for ages and you've already got yourself... That's probably another workaround, is that, oh man, this gym leader's really kicking my ass. I'll just import that Dragonite I have over from Go and just make things a bit easier for me.
True. I actually have quite a few Pokemon from the original 151 on my one, so this should be interesting.
As somebody who doesn't have Go, it's going to be interesting to see, because hopefully Let's Go won't quote-unquote punish you for not having Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that's a worry.
I mean, obviously, like, it helps fill out your Pokedex much easier. It's like, now, young trainer, you must catch all 151 Pokemon and complete the Poke. Done. Wait, what? Yeah, I just transferred all over from Go. I'm done. Oh. Well, all right then. But,
fuck you then.
But I'm not concerned with filling out the Pokedex. I just don't want to get into a position where it's like, oh man, the game would be much easier if you had Pokemon Go, wouldn't it? Maybe you should invest in Pokemon Go to help you beat the game.
Hey. You want to get Pokemon Go?
One addition that I found very surprising is that there's going to be local co-op. So you can have a second player jump in.
Yes.
You can have a second player jump in at any point to help you catch Pokemon and battle trainers. So you can have 2-on-1 Pokemon battles. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Fair. And also it helps you make catching Pokemon easier because you both use Pokeballs. Which then does the Pokemon split into two?
I'm not...
Because technically you're both catching it.
Maybe you'll share Pokemon as a team. Like there'll be two of you, but you share the same 6 Pokemon team.
Oh, maybe.
I just think it's really cool that they've included, I think, co-op for the first time in a Pokemon game. I can't recall any other time they've done
this. In a main series game.
So, and again, it works really well because it means that parents can play it with their children and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And you only need one Switch for it.
Exactly.
You just play with the little...
The Switch is so good!
I know! I love it! Oh! It is really cool. It is really good. There has also been confirmation of a new Pokemon.
Yep, I mean, that's not entirely surprising, but...
Yeah.
Obviously, there's going to be a big, like, oh, new Pokemon announced, what's it going to be? And I'm like,
I wonder if it is actually going to be, because there's been loads of rumours of a new Eeveelution.
There have, haven't they? And I think we are technically on track for a new one. Because Gen 2 introduced Espeon and Umbreon, Gen 4 introduced Glaceon and Leafeon, Gen 6 introduced Sylveon, and now we're at Gen 8 is approaching.
Yep.
So, maybe we'll finally get our fighting Eevee?
Just an Eevee with...
boxing gloves for ears,
with boxing gloves for ears. I'm actually trying to think, what other ones could there be? It's really, it's only fighting dragon.
There's still quite a lot they could still do, like fighting dragon, ghost, steel, flying, poison.
Oh god, a poison Eevee, could you imagine?
Yeah. But,
the stuff of nightmares.
They've also said that you can have multiple saves, but it's only one per Switch account.
Yeah, so if you make multiple accounts, you can make you can have multiple saves, which is like
yeah, it's a very it's like you take one step forward, Nintendo, and then you take another step back. It's
back. Like, it's like, there is one interesting thing though. None of the multiplayer features apparently have to use the paid service that's coming.
Oh yeah, they said, didn't they? Because there was a bit of a thing going on where some people were like, "Oh, that, there's no online in the game," and then it got reported that there was. So you can still do online battles and stuff, but it's apparently you don't need to sign up for the online service that Nintendo's doing in order to use it, which is... Because I remember that was your biggest criticism about the service.
Yes, that was the thing I was worried about the most when the new Pokemon games were coming out. It's like, wait, so if there's going to be a service where you have to pay to use online features, what's that going to mean for the mainstay Pokemon games? Because for the longest time, we've been able to trade, battle, all of this for free. And then finally it's like, oh no, you have to pay up. It's like... Really? Because that's a huge step backwards.
And now apparent, but they're not doing it for Let's Go, which is... Oh. Yeah. Though they could always still, like turn it around once we get to Gen 8 next year, so...
Yeah.
Don't stay too hopeful.
Let's not get complacent now.
Yeah, exactly. What else? They've said that there's not going to be any breeding in the game, which I don't care about. Like, I very rarely did breeding myself. And it kind of makes sense, considering these are remakes of Gen 1, which didn't have breeding as a mechanic.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's pretty much like the main stuff that they've clarified. Though I forgot, there's some other details as well. Like apparently Mewtwo's going to have a much bigger role in the story this time.
Which is good.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Hopefully it's not like Mewtwo Returns.
Well, I don't see why it would, but whatever.
Mainly because I just re-listened to our commentary of Returns yesterday. It's just the ending of, so James, what did you think? Yeah, it's a thing.
That happened.
That happened.
But, that's, yeah. Not much else to really say about it, because obviously we still don't know an awful lot, but I say first impressions are very good. And I think like this is a very good idea to take the, a very good direction to take the series in. Like creating games for two different audiences, but ones that can still be enjoyed by both parties, because you know, who's to say that maybe people who get into the series via like Let's Go won't decide to check out the main series games and check out the main series games.
Yeah, it's the stepping stone effect. People play this, they get into it, and then they hear a new Pokemon game's coming and it's one of the main series, and people will give it a go, especially if they buy a Switch just for this, which, let's be honest, is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, the Switch is already selling fantastically, and this is gonna be like the...
At the time of recording, I have heard that there have been reports that Nintendo's, like, stocks or something have dropped somewhat, and people are already going, well, Nintendo's clearly screwed everything up, it's over. And it's like...
Really?
I mean, the stocks dropping has happened, yes, but... Like, no. I don't take stock in the stocks. Because, again, Nintendo's still very, very rich.
I was about to say, very, very rich, and they have a very good console. Especially you could say, like, at the moment, there's not been big releases yet, apart from Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, which is not going to be a system seller.
Yeah, don't forget, we've got Mario Tennis Aces coming out this month.
Yeah.
And Nintendo are really pushing that. But,
and
let's not forget, E3 is almost around the corner. And that's got Smash Brothers. No, because I was just like going to make a comment about how, you know, people are going like, oh, Nintendo's dead, this is it. And it's like, yes, because you haven't said that the last 20 times every time Nintendo did something wrong. It's like, this time it's definitely going to happen. I know I've said it every time Nintendo did something wrong that this was the death knell for them, but it's totally going to happen this time. They're totally going to die out.
They're not. It's absolute rubbish. I remember when the Switch was being announced and both of us were worried about it. Like we never said that it was going to die, but we're like, oh god, this is a little worrying. Like, we know nothing.
I know we've commented on this before, but I still find it hilarious how cynical we all were about this. Well, the NX, as it was called at the time.
Yeah.
And then they showed off the Switch in that trailer announcement video, and every single one of us went, here's our money, we'll buy it.
Here's our money, we're buying it.
We're sorry we doubted you. All praise Nintendo.
Nintendo. And lo and behold, the Switch is done fantastically.
All hail the Hypno Toad. I mean Nintendo.
No. Perfect.
But so I'm excited for Let's Go. I'm still excited for whatever the next proper Pokemon game for 2019 is. I doubt, because I remember people were saying that that game was going to get announced this year, and clearly they were what they were actually referring to was Let's Go.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought there might be another. You know that we got the new Pokemon being announced for Let's Go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the cancelled Raichu.
Oh, yeah, because they were talking about there was going to be a Raichu evolution, but they cut it.
Yeah, Gorachu, which was meant to be like this big-looking Raichu-looking thing with spikes and everything.
I don't think the Pikachu line needs another evolution.
Nah, we've already got Pichu and Raichu. We don't need another
one. Yeah, I was sick of all like the new pre-evolutions and evolutions they introduced in Gen 4, so I really don't want another repeat of that. Because a lot of those were so unnecessary. Who wanted a nose pass evolution? Who?
Who actually uses nose pass? Just hear Michael raise his hand up.
There's like one person who like uses who's like nose pass is super critical to their team. Who's listening to this going, oh.
Oh. But I liked Magnezone.
Magnezone was cool. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying they were all bad. I'm just saying that most of them were bad.
Most of them were bad. But yeah, that's pretty much the Pokemon news. It's been good. And again, I think it would have been worse if they didn't say, oh, there is a proper mainstay series around the corner.
I mean, I think a lot of us wouldn't, if they had just announced Let's Go and that was it, I like to believe that a lot of us would have gone, okay, no, we're happy for this. But that there would still have been so many people that would have just like gone, my Pokemon's been ruined, filthy casuals. And it's like, you do realize Pokemon has always been pretty casual as far as RPG standards go.
Oh, yeah.
No! And it's like,
are you really trying to say that Pokemon is as difficult as Persona?
But,
can you imagine that a Pokemon game as difficult as Persona? Like, Jesus.
To be fair, I'd play a Persona game if the Personas were Pokemon.
Oh my god, yes! Oh my god, give us that crossover.
Though that would be very, very silly. I shall now summon my true self. Come, Garbodor!
Garbodor!
Garbodor! And it's literally just a giant trash bag. It's...
Oh my god. I just thought, because they keep like doing Persona 4 stuff and everything, Persona 4 X Pokemon.
I'd play that!
I would play that, but now we've got to think of who gets which Pokemon.
Well, you've got to have Pikachu, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I'd say Kanji's got to have Nidoking.
Yeah, or something
like
that.
Let's make it easier.
Kanji needs a Machamp.
Oh, yep, okay.
Chie can have Hitmonlee.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's too many fighting types for each one, though.
Yukiko can have Moltres.
Mm-hmm. No, Rapidash.
No, because like I'm like her whole thing is that Konohana Saki is like a bird,
so she
needs to have a Firebird. So
yep, give her.
Or if we don't want to give her a legendary, Talonflame,
yep.
Teddy's got to have like any bear, just any bear.
Ursa Ring.
Yeah, or maybe he starts with a Teddy Ursa, and then when his persona evolves, it becomes an Ursa Ring. We are putting way too much thought into this.
This is like when I showed you Monster, and we decided on making persona.
Coming up with stands for monster characters. That was so dumb, but I loved it.
I lived for that, but I was just like, right, which stand are we going to come up with this week? And I love it when we actually cut some out, like, no, this guy doesn't deserve it.
A new character got introduced, I looked to you and said, do they need a stand? And you stand? Went, they're not important enough, no. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Oh, we need to stop now. We need to get back. We've gone way off topic.
Oh, I love this. So, there was actually, alongside Pokemon getting announced, there were other announcements as well.
Oh, yeah, there was.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, a lot happened in that week. It's like, what is going on?
There's like this announcement and this announcement. I think it was Eurogame, and it was like, guys, can you please stop announcing stuff? Our fingers are tired.
Think the companies are just afraid of all the retail places leaking their announcements. They're like, screw it, let's just announce them before they get leaked.
Yeah. Like, well,
Like, one thing I actually want to talk about real quick is that Walmart leaked Sonic, Team Sonic Racing, which was the new racing game that Sega were teasing months ago, and I was just like, for God's sake. And then Sega released the official trailer afterwards, and it's like, oh, cool. And it was a trailer of nothing. It was like a CGI trailer that lasted less than a minute, and I was like, God damn it, Sega, you do not have enough goodwill to just tease us like this. Give us some goddamn footage.
Wasn't the last racing game good?
Don't misunderstand me. I'm still excited because Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed is one of my favorite racing games. Like, it's a solid Mario Kart competitor. And I am actually kind of disappointed that the new racing game is only Sonic characters. Because it's like, you know, it means all those other Sega icons are just being pushed off to the sides, and I'm like, oh, that's a real shame, because I loved All-Stars Racing Transformers roster. You had like Jet from Jet Set Radio, Knights from Knights Journey into Dreams, Wreck-It Ralph was in it for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, there was some cool stuff in that game. I really enjoyed it, and the same developer, Sumo Digital, is also doing Team Sonic Racing, so I am confident that this game is going to be really good. And they did, while we didn't get like a proper trailer for gameplay or anything, and I'm sure we'll get gameplay at E3, they did actually reveal a lot of details for the game that I'm actually going to pull up right now. Because, like I said, I do want to quickly talk about this. Here we go. So, obviously, it's only going to be focusing on Sonic characters. I think they said the roster's only going to be 15, which I'm like...
That's really small racing game.
I hope I'm not sounding greedy when I say this, but that does sound like not an awful lot. Like, when you can... Like,
that doesn't sound an awful lot for Sonic characters either.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Sonic cast is pretty damn big, so they have a lot of characters to choose from, but it also means that a lot of characters are going to get cut. And I'm just curious as to who's going to make it or not. Because they've said that...
DLC! Sorry, I had a bad throat.
They've said that the characters are going to be split into like three different classes. So I imagine this is just me guessing. I imagine the classes are going to be speed for characters like Sonic and Shadow. We'll get power for characters like Knuckles. And then maybe technique or skill for characters like Tails or something. Like, so far, we've only got four characters confirmed, which are Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Shadow, which, you know, is not exactly surprising. I'd imagine we'll get, obviously, I think Eggman's a shoo-in, obviously. Amy, definitely. And after that, I think it's going to be fair game, because I'm not sure who else they could include.
I'd probably say Rouge, because she's so popular.
Maybe. I feel like whoever was in Forces has probably got, like, a good shot. So, Silver, the Chaotix... Mm-hmm. Be hilarious if Infinite was there.
I was about to... Oh my god, that's the canon. Infinite disappears at the end of Sonic Infinite and he appears in the racing game.
Yeah, that's the twist. That's where he went after Sonic Forces. I set up this racing tournament, Sonic. This will prove I'm not weak.
God, Infinite was a disappointment.
No, Infinite was great. It's what they did with him that was disappointing. But anyway... So it's going to be 12-man races, so just like Mario Kart, or at least what Mario Kart's like nowadays. There is going to be online multiplayer and local multiplayer, which, you know, it's a standard, but that's great. Vehicles will have customization options, which is cool. And there's going to be Grand Prix modes, Time Attack, Exhibition. There's also going to be something called a Team Adventure mode, which has me very interested. So I'm like, ooh, what could that be all about? So like, that seems to be like the major single player. And it's kind of interesting, actually, because... There's obviously nothing's been confirmed, but do you remember there's like a big rumor going around that there's going to be a Star Fox racing game?
Yes.
Well, because the rumors for that say that that game's going to have an adventure mode as well. And it's like all these racing games are turning into Diddy Kong Racing. And I love Diddy Kong Racing. So I'm like, yes, please.
I am okay with this.
Yeah.
Give more racing game story.
Well, not necessarily like story modes, but like big single player things they can do outside of the Grand Prix. It would give... Diddy Kong Racing was considered like the superior racing game on the N64. Like, Mario Kart 64 was out, but because Diddy Kong Racing offered so much more, including that big adventure mode, it's considered the superior racing game for that console.
Hmm.
And
then it never had another game after.
But it got remade for the DS, and there were apparently talks of maybe it getting a sequel, but they haven't gone anywhere, which is a shame. But,
imagine that's a big thing at E3. They're like, we know you wanted it, and then suddenly Diddy Kong just appears.
Well, considering that Star Fox racing game sounds very similar to Diddy Kong Racing, that's probably what they're doing with that.
Mm.
If that To be fair, like, I hope the Star Fox Racing game is real because A, it sounds really good, and B, I just think it'd be hilarious to live in a world where the game that revitalized the Star Fox brand was a goddamn racing game.
Racing game.
And not the official mainline game that we got like a year ago for the Wii U.
Which was awful. There's a reason why that one hasn't been ported to the Switch yet.
It will happen. It's going to happen.
No one will buy it.
But also they said that, like, they did, again, they haven't dwelled on it too much, but judging from the title and the way they've talked about it, it sounds like there's going to be a bit of a cooperative style to the race, to the game, which will be very interesting to see how they do, because not many racing games use co-op. I mean, Double Dash had a slight co-op mechanic where you could have two players to a car at the same time. And I don't know if you remember this, James, but there was a game called Crash Tag Team Racing.
Yes, I remember that.
That was all that had this mechanic where during the race you could fuse yourself with another car and you and that racer would work together to, like, drive and attack other enemies. But then you could also defuse from it to give yourself an extra speed boost to get ahead. So it was all about, like, what is the best time. There was like a little layer of strategy to it or something. So it's going to be interesting to see what Team Sonic Racing does with that. Thing is, though, now that we've got some... I remember being very sort of cynical about it when they teased it, because all they did was like, we're teasing a racing game. Okay, what is it going to be? We're just teasing it. And it's like, you've got nothing. You have nothing. I can't get excited for this, Sega. And now we have...
You have nothing!
And now we have screenshots and details. So now... And especially now that I know Sumo Digital's doing it again. So I'm like, okay, I'm confident now. Maybe the good Sonic game I've been waiting for all these years will be the racing one. And yes, I know Sonic Mania came out, but I didn't play it.
Oh, and it was pretty much just a remake of the original game, so...
No, I would say that's a very unfair assessment to give Mania.
Okay.
I don't think that's fair. Actually, just to go slightly off topic, have you been watching those Sonic Mania Adventures cartoons that Sega have been putting up?
No, I haven't.
They're adorable. I love them so much. Like, I mean, there's no dialogue, they're all silent, there's some great physical humour, some great, like, character moments. Like, the first episode, Sonic gets Eggman trapped in his own trap, and Eggman's like, please release me before the bomb goes off, and Sonic's like, yeah, okay, maybe I will. But then he sees, like, Eggman's plan that has, like, a picture of Sonic with stink, with, like, a big red cross through it, and he just, like, hits the bomb and runs off.
Oh, wow, Sonic, you're cold.
There's the most recent one where Knuckles is guarding the Master Emerald, and then Ray the Squirrel shows up, and Ray just, like, looks at the Master Emerald. Knuckles picks him up and throws him into the sky. And it's like, damn, Knuckles! He's just looking for
dead.
He was just looking for his friend.
You can hear the very moment where he goes, pop.
That was how Ray left the franchise. Knuckles threw him into the stratosphere. Anyway, so yeah, I'm looking forward to Team Sonic Racing. Hopefully we'll get some more juicy details at E3. I can't wait for E3, James. We're going to have so much to talk about.
We are. It's going to be insane. It's going to be interesting what games haven't been leaked yet.
Yeah.
Because we've still got others.
Well, that's the thing, though. There have been a lot of leaks, but so many of them are technically, like, you know, they have no basis. Like... Because I remember there was like a big Smash Brothers leak a short while ago that suggested that Ridley and Simon Belmont from Castlevania were going to be playable, and I'm taking that.
Yes.
I'm taking that with a massive grain of salt.
Massive grain of salt, but can you imagine that the Ridley fans are like, finally?
Yeah, well, guys, it's never going to happen.
But it might. No.
I'll tell you what. I will make a bet.
If, be careful what you say, Michael.
I know, but if Ridley is revealed to be a playable character in Smash Brothers for Switch, what should I do, James? What's a good idea? You got any ideas?
Don't do anything too bad.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna promise anything like super ridiculous. But
I'm going to eat a shoe. No,
I'm not gonna promise anything like that. I'll tell you what, if Ridley is confirmed to be a playable character in Smash Brothers, I will literally eat my words.
He'll write them on a piece of paper and he'll eat the paper.
Yep, I'll do it.
Hey, the Switch was never going to be that good. Oh, wait.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, to be fair, I've been wrong before. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But to be fair, funny enough, like, that leak, the Ridley being playable wasn't the thing that made me raise my eyebrow the most. It was Simon Belmont, because I know he is, like, a very, like, after, obviously, Mega Man, Sonic, and Pac-Man, a lot of people really want Simon Belmont to be in Smash Brothers. But considering Konami these days, I sincerely doubt it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think even Konami knows who Simon Belmont is.
Can you just imagine that Nintendo goes up to Konami? Hey, we want Simon Belmont. Who?
Yes. Okay, well, can we at least get Solid Snake back? Who?
Do you actually know anything about your games? What?
We make games?
We make games? I thought we just make pachinko machines.
Wait, we're Konami? Kojima left?
What's a Kojima?
Oh, that's what I'm looking forward to at E3. Death Stranding getting, like, another vague-ass trailer and people going, I'm so excited, guys. We still know nothing!
Still no gameplay trailer.
Watch, we're going to get no more gameplay at Death Stranding. We're going to know just as much... We're going to learn nothing else about Death Stranding. We're just going to get another vague-ass trailer. Maybe Kojima will reveal another one of his favourite actor friends who's like, oh, look, they're in the game too. And it's like, but what is it, Kojima? I know you're happy you got Mads Mikkelsen in it, but that's not enough.
I'm actually trying to look when Death Stranding is meant to be released, but thankfully there's no release date yet, so...
Oh, do you think that's going to be like the new Kingdom Hearts 3 / Half-Life 3?
Oh, God!
Every year. Where's Death Stranding? It's coming.
Oh, no. I'd say a bit more like Kingdom Hearts than Half-Life 3, because at least Kingdom Hearts is actually coming out.
I still can't believe we live in a world where Kingdom Hearts 3 is actually happening.
Well, we knew it was always happening. It was just they were putting the side games first.
Yeah, it was like, just, where's Kingdom Hearts 3? And it's like, here's your Kingdom Hearts 3, you greedy bastards! But anyway, oh man, I know we just got some Kingdom Hearts 3 info recently, but I still want I want new details. Like, they've got to have something Kingdom Hearts 3 at E3 this year. They can't...
I imagine there will
be. I mean, we know we're getting the release dates, but at the risk of sounding incredibly greedy, I just want more. Like, here's what...
I imagine we'll get a final trailer at least.
Here's what I want from Kingdom Hearts 3, at the very least. Obviously, announcement, release dates for the game. I want one new world to be announced. Because, because at the moment, like, also, yeah, one new world, I want one new world to get announced, and I want footage of the Big Hero 6 world, because we've seen nothing of it yet.
That's true.
Like, we've got stuff for Tangled and Toy Story and Monsters, Inc., but nothing for Big Hero 6. In fact, Big Hero 6 got announced... Wait, did it get announced before Toy Story?
I think it did.
Yeah, it got announced before Toy Story, but we've seen
quite
more of
while before.
We've seen more of the Toy Story world than the Big Hero 6 world. You know what? It's probably because, do you remember, like, they had to... Because Square Enix made them change engines midway through development.
Yep.
So I bet, like, a lot of the stuff they did for Big Hero 6 was probably on that old engine, so they're having to redo it all, which is why Toy Story... stuff got revealed much sooner.
So maybe it will be shown at E3, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Just a little bit. I just want a little bit of the Big Hero 6 world.
Just a smidgen. Just to see it.
Yeah.
Just to see it.
And maybe get an English dubs trailer, because all the big trailers so far have been in with the Japanese voices.
Japanese.
And we know the English recording sessions have happened.
Because we saw it for Toy Story.
Yep.
So, hopefully.
And some of the new English voice actors have been confirmed for it. Like, we've got, I think it's Christopher Swindle. They've confirmed to be voicing Sully in Monsters, Inc. And, I can't remember his name. I have to look it up.
For which character?
The guy they've got to replace Billy Crystal for Mike Wazowski. Oh, here we go.
Ah, okay.
Carlos Lazraqui. Sorry, I was really worried about pronouncing his last name wrong. Apparently, I can't pronounce it. Alazraqui has voiced Mike in other video games before. Like, I think he voiced him for Disney Infinity, so...
Oh, good.
But Christopher Swindle's not voiced Sully before, so I'm interested in seeing, hearing how he handles it. But though, to be fair, like, when Kingdom Hearts has been unable to get the original voice actors, they've managed to get some pretty damn good sound alike, so...
Yeah.
I'm confident that we're not going to get, like, Sully won't start talking, it'll be super jarring. Like, he's not going to open his mouth and be like, "Hi, I'm James P. Sullivan! Ah!
Ah!
That's not Sully!"
It won't be Pirates of the Caribbean world.
Okay, look, I think James Arnold Taylor did a good job at pretending to be Johnny Depp. I'm just going to say, like, I thought he did a good job. At least vocally. Like, it sounded like him.
Yeah. I was more... It wasn't him that was...
Was it because they didn't get Jeffrey Rush?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, that was a lot more blatant. No, the thing is, I think the worst instance in Kingdom Hearts 2 was the person they got to voice Scar. Not because they were bad.
Oh,
but there
yes.
just wasn't enough energy behind that performance. It felt like all their work was going into sounding like Jeremy Irons, right, rather than just trying to do a good performance. I don't know why they just didn't get Jim Cummings to do it. Like,
yeah, he's playing other characters.
They had him right there. He was in that world twice as Pete and Ed the Hyena.
Oh, God, Pete's design in that world was... Ugh.
What was wrong with it?
I don't know why, but it always creeped me out a little bit. Like, oh, God, what is that?
It's almost like he's the bad guy.
I know. The most ineffectual bad guy, but a bad guy nonetheless.
Oh, man, we've gone... Where are we even going?
Where do we go from
like,
here?
Like, we finished talking about Pokemon, moved on to Sonic, and now we're just all over the place.
Well, there have been other leaks.
Yeah, do you want to just talk about some more leaks for the last 10 minutes?
Yeah, so the first one is there's been a new Assassin's Creed pretty much confirmed.
Oh, yeah, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, right?
Odyssey. Let's do the Odyssey.
I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it again. If Ubisoft do not make a trailer for this game with Jump Up Superstar playing, I am going to be very disappointed.
Okay, real talk. I could see how they could do that. Have it that the music is like, they do like orchestral sound, but it is, let's do the Odyssey.
it's
in orchestral sounds.
Yeah. Or they should do what, because don't you remember when Doom was coming out for the Switch, they released a trailer for it. It was gameplay of Doom with Jump Up Superstar playing over it. This was an official trailer, and I was like, the best thing ever. It's like, as the song's going, Odyssey, yes, see Doom Marines punching heads off. It's like, yeah.
Oh, God.
Even better, because isn't like Odyssey supposed to be set in Greece or something? Like that's that's the theory. Like
it's meant to be ancient Greece.
Have your usual standard Ubisoft Assassin's Creed trailer, but at the very end, when the new assassin character is like perched on a rooftop somewhere, he like looks into the camera and goes, "Well, let's a go." And it's like,
they've already done that.
Oh, did they?
In Assassin's Creed Was it Brotherhood or Assassin's Creed 2? I think it was Assassin's Creed 2.
One of the Italy ones.
One of the Italy ones. Ezio meets his uncle, and he's called Mario. And he goes, "It's-a me, Mario!"
Oh, that's brilliant!
It was actually even back then. It's like, okay, that's kind of perfect.
That's great. I love that.
I'll show you the clip afterwards. Yeah, but, yeah.
Are you an Assassin's Creed fan, James? I can't remember.
I am. I do enjoy the Assassin's Creed games, but I also know that pretty much most of them are the same these days, and it's been a noticeable dip.
When was the last one you played?
Oh, I played the latest one, Origins.
Oh, okay.
Origins, I thought, was all
right.
Oh, yeah,
I remember. You were excited for Origins because it was set in Egypt.
Yeah, and I've actually played more of the Discovery mode, which is basically just no combat. You're just basically walking around Egypt, and you've got like loads of... kind of like these tutorial type things that actually show you like what ancient Egypt was like back in the day.
And here's the history lesson mode of the game.
Yeah, and it was actually really good, especially as there was one you literally just walked around and you saw the mummification process. It's like, sweet.
It's like, and here's how we mummify people. Great, I'm never sleeping again.
Now, if you excuse me, I now need to go cry into a pillow.
Man, Yu-Gi-Oh! Got dark.
But you activated my trap card, mummification.
Were there any Yu-Gi-Oh! References in Assassin's Creed Origins?
I don't know. Don't think so.
How disappointing.
I'll go later in the game and there's actually you see like the Millennium puzzle or something like that.
No, you just need to have like one random mook who challenges you to a card game.
This is like a children's card game. But yeah, Odyssey sounds really cool. Like, it's literally the trailer was just someone going, "This is Sparta!" and kicking someone off a rock.
Oh, okay.
That is literally all it was.
That's not near as... I know it's very hypocritical of me to go, how come the Assassin's Creed games don't do this reference? But then they make a 300 reference and I'm like, oh. How quaint.
It's Greece, get it? Also, it wasn't the Spartans that did that. It was actually the Athenians.
That meme is right. That meme's been so old. It's like you're a bit late to the party there, Ubisoft.
I feel like, though, as well, that if they didn't do it, people would go, why did you make that reference? It was gift wrapped.
I genuinely don't think people would have. I don't think anyone would have said that. But, like, if anything, I think people are probably more familiar with the Robot Chicken sketch where Leonidas kicks his TV going,
This isn't funny! Maybe that's will be the reference. The guy made a joke and he just kicks him off the rock. This isn't funny!
Oh, man.
But we'll find out more at E3. But
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I want it now!
God. That's something I just remembered. So there's a... You know the whole thing of the Templars and all this are trying to control the world. There's a villain called Juno who's been this like this long-running villain of the whole thing. They finally showed her in the present and everything. They showed it in the comics, not in the goddamn games. It's like, oh, come on!
For a second there, I thought you were going to say they showed it in the movie, and I was about to go, oh, no!
Oh, God! No one. I remember.
Oh, can you imagine if that's the announcement for Odyssey? It's not a new game, it's actually a new movie.
Yeah. Oh, God.
No!
No! I remember, you know, Jim Sterling and Conrad, they do Spin Off Doctors, yeah. Which is like the movie cop video game podcast. They did the Assassin's Creed movie, and they said that is the worst film they have done, bar none. And they have done Super Mario Brothers, all the 90s bad video game movies, and the Assassin's Creed one is the worst.
From what I understand of the Assassin's Creed movie is that the biggest fault with it is that it's just very, very
dull.
Boring.
Yeah, it is monumentally boring.
Like, at least stuff like Super Mario Brothers is so dumb that it leaves an impact. Like, I don't think we're ever going to forget the Mario movie.
No!
At least maybe until the animated Mario movie comes out that's done by Illumination.
Or the... and there's also the Sonic animated movie coming out.
Oh, my God.
Animated.
Oh, but,
Michael, we have James Marsden and Paul Rudd in it.
No, Paul Rudd...
Are you not entertained?
Paul Rudd's not in it anymore. They, like...
Is he left?
Well, Paul Rudd was going to be in it, but then they replaced him with James Marsden.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, okay, Paul Rudd's in it. That might be okay. And actually, no, to be fair, I like James Marsden too.
I was about to say James Marsden's
a good actor. I was about to say, that's not fair to James Marsden. But the thing is, though, my issue isn't with the actor they've got in it. It's the fact that why is it hybrid animation and live action? Sure. I love that kind of stuff. But not for a Sonic movie. Just make it about Sonic.
Sonic.
Look, it's like... We've had so many of these types of movies, like especially in recent years with friggin' Smurfs and Alvin and the Chipmunks. None of them have been good. So why do Hollywoods keep thinking we want them?
Because as bad as they are, they still sold.
Have they not watched Sonic X? Nobody likes it! And you want to know why? Because part of the reason was because the Sonic characters were trapped in the human world and we had to deal with human shenanigans that no one cared about because we wanted to watch Sonic! Sorry, I'm rambling. I'm very passionate
also,
about...
Also, was it the English version of Sonic X, like, heavily...
Well, that's because...
...truncated from the Japanese one?
Well, again, because it's for kids and it's being marketed towards children. They had to edit the crap out of it.
Yeah. But even then, it wasn't good.
Well, I don't think Sonic X is that much better in the original Japanese either, so...
Oh. Sorry, man.
It's hard being a Sonic fan. This is my cross to bear.
Just before we finish up, there was one other final leak. There was also Fallout.
Oh, yeah. Was that a leak? I thought they just announced the teaser trailer for it.
Oh, yeah, they just announced it. They did a whole big build up of what's coming, and it's like the Fallout announcement, and it went on for ages, and then apparently it crashed. It's like this is the perfect personification of Fallout.
Oh, I wish the story ended there.
But it didn't. So we got Fallout 76 or something like that, I think. And the reason why I'm sounding so disinterested is apparently it's just a multiplayer Rust clone.
Yeah, I've heard that. Apparently the talk is that it's like an online multiplayer game. Although people are still going like, no, it's the Fallout sequel we've all wanted. It's going to be, right? And it's like, no.
Apparently, though, a guy from BioWare? From Bethesda.
Like, we are BioWare, which confirms about Fallout, but you don't work on Fallout.
Look at Fallout! Someone from Bethesda who works on the Elder Scrolls series did a tweet, and now everyone's going, Elder Scrolls 6 confirmed!
Okay, to be fair, I think at this point people are just so desperate for Elder Scrolls 6, they're just looking for anything. Todd Howard's just like tweet saying, I think I'll have a sandwich later. Elder Scrolls 6 confirmed, Todd Howard said so.
The new sandwich race confirmed.
Watch it. Fallout 76 turns out to actually just be another version of Skyrim.
No, have you seen the picture someone put of, like, you know, you could play games on your Pip-Boy in the previous one.
Yeah.
So I was playing Skyrim on their Pip-Boy.
Watch, in the new Fallout game, there's going to be a mini game where you can play as Skyrim, all of it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm just buying Fallout 76 for Skyrim, in all honesty. Wait, what?
It's like the darkness had the entirety of To Kill a Mockingbird in the first few minutes.
Really?
Yeah, it was a bit where, like, you're sitting with your girlfriend, and it was the entirety of To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's so random. I know it.
I love that. I love how just, like, how out of place everything it was. It's like, that's actually kind of neat. Probably why it was a huge download. Because, like, yeah, we've got to put the whole of the bloody To Kill a Mockingbird in this.
Whose idea was this?
This. Right. Oh. And on that bombshell, we're going to end it here. So, we're probably going to have to do a couple more pre-recorded in the future because work. But you will definitely get episodes.
Especially with E3 coming in like
a
week.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. And then I'm on holiday as well. So E3 episode's probably going to come after that.
It's coming, James.
But it's coming. Oh, it's coming. I still remember when before we did on the radio, it was 3-hour episodes. We can't do that anymore.
Well, nowadays we have to split them into 2 episodes because there's so much to talk about.
So, what am I going to play you out on? I actually don't know.
Future James, it's up to you.
It's up to me. So, this is James Hall saying goodbye.
This is Michael Becker saying goodbye.
We will see you in the near future. Goodbye.
Goodbye.